and then came, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. For poorer, when your accountant asks you how you and your family survived that year, he's like, I don't know, the numbers don't add up. I went, I don't know. Can you just talk to God? Because he's the only way that made that happen. For poorer, when you don't know how you're going to feed your young family and there's a knock at the door and a week's worth of groceries waiting on the doorstep. In sickness, when your husband is lying in the ICU for the fourth time after having neurosurgery for a pituitary tumor. Just won't go. In sickness, when your husband is holding you on the floor in your kitchen as the grief of the miscarriage finally catches you. In sickness. To love and to cherish. Watching your husband with your newborn babies, each one of them their own miracle story of how they came to be on the planet. Or catching a glimpse, I love these cherished moments, watching his goofy smile as he watches his like weird anime shows, like with headphones, of course, so I just get to witness. Oh, wait, no, this is about somebody else. This is a story. But it all started with a promise in front of everybody, in front of many, many people. Church wedding. Yeah. It all started with a promise. Now, how many times have you heard in the movies, I'll be back, I promise. You know, it's usually when, you know, they're saying, it's like the big, brave, I don't know, somebody saying to the little person or the vulnerable person, just wait here in the midst of like nowhere, I'll be back, I promise. And they go, okay. And off they go. Or, I will never hurt you, ever, I promise. Or the kids that say, I promise I'll never be naughty again. I'll never do that naughty thing again. I'll be good always, I promise. We are kids to Father God too. See, it's easy to make the promise, to say the words, you know, but it's another thing entirely to live and see that promise through. You know, there was lots of like, fluttery emotions. I live, I promise, and I'm going to cherish you, and I'm going to be there in sickness and in health, for better or for worse. And then worse came. I was like, well, I didn't think this was worse. I didn't think this was as bad as it was going to get. No, that was just the first lot of the worse. You see, we live in a world of broken promises. I even just heard it, like, just, you know, obviously because I've been thinking about this and maybe saying it, and of course everything on my newsfeed comes up with the word promise, you know. Oh, I know it was a promise, but, you know, didn't feel like it. Sorry. We live in a world full of broken promises. Bought anything off the internet recently? Received something entirely different? I'm still waiting for those boots, by the way. Or not received anything at all? I've got a few things waiting in cyberspace. Maybe somebody is unboxing my, you know, forgotten parcel somewhere. Anyone tried any newly advertised products promising the world and received glorified water? Or the bank calls you and go, did you make this purchase? Like, yeah, totally. Like, they advertised it on Facebook. Of course I'm going to buy it. So nobody has ever bought into a promise and then had it broken? You know, God has a lot to say about promises. In fact, he's the promise keeper. You know, I sing that with my kids and, you know, my actions are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, promise keeper, light in the darkness. And there are no broken Bible promises. They are the sacred word of A faithful God who never breaks his word. The Bible says that God doesn't lie. He actually can't lie. Hebrews 6 verse 18 says, "So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us." So I wonder, what else does God say about promises? A lot. A lot. Let's start with Joshua 21:45. "Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass." That's just one. 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, or so be it, ascends to God for his glory." Keep going. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, "Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work towards complete holiness because we fear God." So how do we receive these promises? Just a word like, "Oh, that's good for you up there, Pastor T. You've got it all sorted." Spoiler alert, I do not have it all sorted. I definitely do not have it all sorted. Just want to watch the household in the week before birthing a message. Number one, how can we receive the promise of God or the promises of God? Because they're more than one. Number one, acknowledge that they belong to us. Just acknowledge it. But see, here's the thing. I can't just walk out onto the street and go to somebody, "You know what? I promise you, blah, 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 blah." Why? I don't have a relationship with that person. They're going to be like, "You're a stranger to me. Your promises mean nothing." How do we acknowledge that they belong to us? We can do that because we are in intimate relationship with Father God. You don't make promises to strangers. You only make promises. Like, I'm sure in those movies when they go, "I promise you I'll be right back," with all intents and purposes, they are going to make their way back. Except there's this whole journey, and depending on the director and the writer, they may or may not get back to that poor vulnerable person. Now remember that God was constantly saying to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, list goes on, "Go up and possess the land which I have already given you." It's not just go there and just have that random thing. No, I've already promised it to you. So today is my David's 12th birthday. Today, you are all witnesses to a miracle. You see, when that young couple were in the midst of an in sickness and in health moment, in the midst of it, God spoke a promise over them. As the young husband was praying for healing and answers to a situation that seemed impossible, when the doctor starts or the neurosurgeon starts with number one risk is death, when they start with that, it's a bit freaky, okay? When they start with that and you're in your 20s, scary. You're supposed to be starting your life, and the doctor starts with this in sickness and in health moment, but in the midst of that, we didn't lose sight of our promises, our yes and amen in him. And in a moment of like, "God, what is this? What on earth? What the heck is happening? What do you want me to do? Wait, is it me? Am I sinning?" Believe it or not, people will tell you that your illness is from sin. No, cancel that out. Your illness is not from sin. I don't know who needs to hear that right now. Your illness that is being carried in your body is not a result of your sin. We live in a fallen world. Sickness is not of God. It's of the world that we live in. Just get that, you know. So when you're contending for healing, God, you said. So as this young husband was praying for healing and for answers, God spoke three things. Son, he started with son, you're healed. You're going to have a son and you're going to call him David. And that was in 2006. And as all stories go, they all lived happily ever after. Amen. Bye. Do the math. He's 12. The word came in 2006. I was aging all that time. Well, like a fine wine. Except, I know there are some mama bears here that, I don't know what the times speak over your life, but they gave me special treatment because I was considered a geriatric pregnancy. I know, don't let these wrinkles fool you. You see, possession of the promise takes time. We must be patient with the promises. He's very patient. I'm so glad we've got an honest and raw congregation because, yeah, don't say any stories about how we get to school, guys. Okay? Promises need to grow. It's one thing to be spoken, but they need to grow. Let's just say we really relate to Moses, Joseph, and all of those who've had to wait on the promises of God. You see, we read it in our Bibles and we go, oh, and he worked in the house and then he went to jail and then, oh, look, it's all good. Let's just turn the page. No, years and years and years and years. Well, we took that word in 2006 and we ran with it because that's what you do. God said it. I remember in my home just near the door, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Of course we're going to tell the church. Not only did we tell the church it was coming, we told our girls, we started buying things we needed, and then we waited and waited and waited and waited. Actually, I recently found an old journal of mine. I love doing that. It's like, oh, what's in this book? And then it's like, you know, thoughts that you had back then. And I was questioning the wait. I was like, oh, God, when is David coming? Da, 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 da. It was only 18 months in, guys. 18 months. It says in the Bible. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. And so after waiting patiently 5 years, Paul and Tanya and Eden and Talia, after many tears, I don't know how patiently we waited. It's one of those things you put patiently there, but you just have to wait. It doesn't actually matter whether patiently is there or not because you still have to wait. 5 years. 5 years. I was going to have this beautiful little family. No, I ended up having two. I ended up having someone born, a little person born into the school routine. He's the most easygoing kid now because it's like, oh, it's your sleep time. Oh, well. What causes you to doubt your promise, though? We had many. We had this prayer room and, you know, because it was happening straight away. God said it was happening. We told everybody. Got all the things because we'd already had, you know, our girls were starting school. So we didn't have all the stuff. So we started buying all the stuff and putting it in the corner when Paul would go to his prayer room. And at first, it was a little bit like, oh, yes, thank you for the promise. Thank you for the promise as my son. I'm going to use that for my son. Thank you for the promise. A little bit. Cool. Yep, promise is coming. Thank you for the promise. Yep, thanks, God. Which after some time turned to, now you're mocking me. Now you're just mocking me. We have these little girls who are like, is the David bowl filled up with his prayers yet? Is he coming yet? See, fear causes us to doubt the promise. He gave the promises, and we're expected to take possession and take hold. But there was no time. God's time, you know? It's like 1,000 days is to him as like a minute, or, you know, in the blink of his eyelids, like we've breathed our whole life. Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Okay. But then, just a little bit further along, at the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community. Talking about having, you know, there's no discrete, like, we have a chat? No. Everybody wants to hear what happened. And so they reported to them. They gave the fruit of the promised land. And I was looking at those balloons there, like that's the size of the grapes. So imagine that, but on a big, like, you know, they're carrying these grapes like this. Everyone's like, whoa, yes, we've made it. We love the manna, but whoa. One grape can feed my whole family for a week, you know? At the end of the 40 days, they come back. Hang on. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow. It does flow with milk and honey. And look at its fruit. Look. But, the people who live there are powerful. Da-da-da-da-da, all of these sad, oh no, it's so awful, it's all so awful. Then Caleb silenced him. He's like, no, I've got to get this back. I'm losing them. I've got to get them back. And he says, we should go up and take possession because we've got the promise. We've seen the fruit. We can do this. We can certainly do this. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land. They've received the promise. They've seen the fruit. They're literally standing there and they go, we can't do it. It's too hard. Too hard. So much so, it wasn't enough for the ones who were scared. They had to go and go, don't go. Don't go. They're massive. Don't go. I know that fruit, nah, don't worry about it, don't go. They said, the land that we explored devours those that live in it. The fruit people, that is not devouring, that is like, anyway. I wasn't there, it's easy to say on this side of the timeline. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Well, you were scared of them, so you didn't go and talk to any of them, but apparently you can mind read now, and now you can say, oh, well, they think that we're grasshoppers too. The promise was given. The fruit was brought back. But beware the word but. Just a little one, just a little word, but. I teach that in school. And the actual meaning is to change the direction of the sentence. The literal meaning, but. So we know the rest of the story. They didn't possess what God had promised because of a refusal to enter in, and they let fear override the promise. I know that none of us, you know, have ever. What? Every altar call, people, 5 years, every altar call. just wondering when this is happening because I've got a life that I need to... Nope, no answer yet? Okay. But here's the thing. Don't let those who bring you a bad report place the fear in your heart. Those promises are yours and yours and yours. So when we had people saying... Now, this tumor in your head, you've got an unknown sin. You got to go. Confess it. Okay. Now, they were very well-meaning, they loved us, well-meaning people in the church. But when God gives you a promise, come on, when God gives you a promise, you stand on that. Okay? You stand on that. And if you don't believe it, then just type in promises into Google and it'll give you all the... We don't even have to, I remember in Sunday school we had to remember all this stuff. But now you don't even have to do that because Google does it for you. You see, those people who came back with a bad report, God caused a plague to fall on them. So how do we possess? We live in a world, it's so complicated and so messy that the few minutes of the words that I have just don't do it justice. But we know the kind of world that we live in. You know, we're not living as sons and daughters in our world. You know, we live in a place, in a society, in a world that is driven by fear. But we possess these promises by walking as sons and daughters. Because it's not just God who's far away, it's God, it's Abba, Father. You know, anyone who's got kids, when you say, yep, we're going to go to, I don't know, Wet and Wild. But Dad, you promised. You promised. See, sons and daughters go, but Dad, you promised. You promised we'd do that. Why aren't you doing it? And yet we come to God and we go, oh, look, I know that you kind of said a word. And I know, but, you know, like maybe I did this, guys. Oh, maybe it's not a real son. Maybe I'm supposed to be a mother to many. Maybe I'm supposed to adopt. Are we supposed to do... You're healed, you're going to have a son, you're going to call him David. I have to stand on that. See, sons and daughters inherit, slaves don't. The kids don't, and as annoying as it can be when you just need, oh my goodness, just give me 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes, 5 minutes is up. Well, I didn't mean 5 minutes, I meant a lot of 5 minutes. You know, they don't even wait to see whether it's an appropriate time. They just come in. Oh, I've got to tell you about this really cool thing. I've got to, please, can you just watch this dance again? Dad, mom, just watch me do this really cool, Spider-Man thing. Watch me do this flip. It's like, is it the same flip that I already watched you do? They don't come slinking into your presence. They don't care what you're doing. Sons and daughters have a right to enter boldly into Father's presence. I'm just going to say that again. Sons and daughters have a right to enter boldly into Father's presence and say, "You promised. I know it's still coming, but you promised." But see, we live in a world that says, oh, no, I know it's just words, right? But if you just work hard enough, pray hard enough, study hard enough, perform good enough, witness good and often enough, if you fast long enough, if you have the right doctrines, blah, 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 blah. If you just do that, then you'll be enough, then you'll be able to step into your promises. Cancel that now. You are good enough. What you're doing in your journey is good enough. And if God calls you to do more, then you do that one thing more. The problem with how we live our lives today is that we fail to go to the next level. I don't know, unless you're playing your video games, and then it's like apparently they have to keep doing it. But we get comfortable. We go, oh, you know what? I'm enjoying the goodness of God. Oh, yes, the promises come. Yep. And we hit a little bump and then we go, oh, no, I remembered how awful that was. I'm not going to another level. But there's something we need to understand, and that is that the promises of God are just a foretaste. It's the entree of what is coming. See, if I promise my kids, I'm using this in a hypothetical setting. You're all witnesses. This is just an example. If we promise our kids to take them to Disneyland, yeah, see, because I, oh. All of you, all of our kids, if we promise all of our kids to take them to Disneyland, they can expect to go there, but the real joy comes when they walk through those gates. Except for 3-year-old Talia, who hated people dressed up in things. So the promises of God are just a foretaste. It's an entree. Did you know that the word promise occurs 214 times in the Bible? I really wish that I was like 1, 2, 3, but I wasn't. Thank you, Google. The very last promise found in the Bible is in Revelation 22, verse 20, and it says, "He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon." Yes. That is what we're waiting for. God has promised to always be with us. He will never forsake us. And over thousands of years, God's Bible promises have been thoroughly tested and found to be true. From the people we read about in the Bible to the people sitting right next to us. You see, Abraham received his promise when it was impossible, according to man. Yet he did, says in Romans 4, 19 to 21, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. The promises of God do not depend on your abilities. We're in a lot of trouble. Namely this person. It's all based on his grace. His grace. Well, let me share a quick little story. So 5 years, there's a big prayer situation. There were a lot of barren couples, and there was a grace to be for babies in that setting. We were one of those couples, and so there's actually a bunch of kids around this age who are like living testimonies, man. I love it. I love it. Now, see, I'm 10 weeks in. I'm like, whoa, oh, okay, good. It's happening. But see, something occurred. I'm there worship leading, and something feels strange. Hand over to my husband, like, tag, yep, I'm going to the doctor now. And he was like, wait, what? What? Okay, turn to the person next to you and like, da, 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 da. Wait, what? I said, I'll see you. I'll see you in a bit. I go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, sorry, Mrs. Paditi, you are in miscarriage. No, I'm not. Everything your body's telling you right now is you're in miscarriage. No, I'm not. And there was something inside me. I was like, no. And I went to the bathroom and I was like, I speak life to you. I stand on the promise that you were given to us. You are the son. My husband is healed. You are David. And there was a miracle story. I just like, there's so many miracle stories within this story. I just can't like take time to go there. But everything was fine. But then every visit was fraught with, like, sorry, we're going to have to deliver early. No, he's carrying too big. No, this, no, this. Oh, sorry, he's breached now. We're going to have to... Every single visit. But I was like, no. Nah. And every time we would be like, no, we are standing on this promise. You see, God has some promises for you that he is going to bring to pass out of what seems like it's a dead situation. Speak to the dry bones. You cannot get more dead than dry bones in a valley. If God can create life onto dry, dead bones, you guys are fine. You're fine. I know it's scary. I know it's hard to be patient. Oh man, I know. I'm not a patient person. I like things done now, and I like them done well. All you have to do, stand on the promise of God. But Dad, you said, Abba, Father, you said, you promised. That way it takes it all off you and your heart and your, like, things that are going on and the stuff that's being said and your whirlwind, and you go, but you said, you stand on that promise. You imagine your promise, possess your promise, hold on to your promise. Hold it. Even if it feels tattered, you hold it. Ever seen a kid that's still got their little blankie and it's like this last little tattered bit? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, God is faithful. You can depend on God. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24, faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. No broken promises with God. Hebrews 10 verse 23, he who promised is faithful. You can count on all the promises of God because he is God. And I know that seems like just simple faith. We can't afford in this fallen world to not have simple faith. And you've got your whole life to be able to talk to him and go, God, what did you mean by this? I think the scripture that says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That is a promise. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise. Behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. That's a promise. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's a promise. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. God has promised me some things. Some things that I just go, whoa, you got the wrong girly. Nah, that is not me. Is somebody else? But they have to come true. So I can't do anything else. Now, I have a personality that is prone to see the negative because I need things to happen now and I want it to be perfect every single time. And when that doesn't happen that way, well, it doesn't work very well for, you know, this not patient person. But devil, you can try all you want to, but I got a promise and I'm standing on it. I'm standing on it and I'm holding this tattered piece of promise because it's mine. I am persuaded that nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ, not tribulation, nor distress, nor persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword, because God has promised me that victory is mine. Y'all need to write that down, highlight it in your Bible, stand in front of the mirror and say that to yourself. Because it's mine. It's so easy to have a pity party and we love it and it's comfort. It's comfort when we have a pity party. But God doesn't want that. He's like, I see the fruit? Can you see the fruit? Don't worry about the giants. I've got them sorted. I'm bigger than them. We praise God for what he has done for us and for the things he's given us. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. We love that. That's why we're like, whoa, God, you're amazing. But our worship is based not on what he has done, but on the promises that he has given to us. I'm going to invite you all to stand right now. Now, I may not have it all yet, and I know that there are probably some conversations and some swirly things happening inside you, and you're like, well, that's good for you. Do not let this exterior fool you into thinking that I've got it sorted, because I do not. Which is why he gives me this stuff. But I am expecting it. And expectation is the breeding grounds for miracles. Expectation is the breeding grounds for miracles. Now, in those early days after receiving the promise of a son, we would have so many people, oh, congratulations. Congratulations, I hear Tanya's pregnant. Nope, but we're expecting. Oh, she's not pregnant. Nope, we're expecting. That became our mantra of sorts. Nope, but we're expecting. Because God said, you are healed, you will have a son, and you will call him David. Which is why when this silly tumor thing is trying to grow again, we're like, nah, nah. A promise is a promise. It's the full stop. Period. It's the full stop. I want you to take this time. I call it elbow buddy. It's the person next to you. And I want you to tell them, look them in the eye and say, I'm expecting a miracle. I want you to imagine that promise. I want you to take hold of your promise. And I want you to stand on that promise.